Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bros. It's me, Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing as well as anyone can right now. Hopeful, excited, you know, scared, angry, all that, all those emotions that everyone's going through across the country, I imagine, I hope. I don't know. How are you doing?
Yeah, same. Been doing a lot of news reading. The world is changing so quickly. I think in a lot of ways, change is for the better. You know, like it doesn't look like it necessarily at all times right now. But it is actually nice to see people standing up and fighting for what's right.
Yeah, and in whatever way you can. My thing right now is I decided that from like basically now until tomorrow night, I've decided I'm going to raise money for the NAACP Legal Defense Fund via Cameo, which is, I saw Michelle Collins was doing it. So I was like, that's a great idea. So I'm going to do it too. So my goal is to hit $500 worth of Cameos, and I'm just going to send that on over to donate to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, and I'm going to match it with $500 of my own. So I'm encouraging people. It's actually going really, really well. I'm almost there at the goal. But I figure, why not? Why not keep on going? Of course, it'll be basically going to mean like I'm going to spend all of tomorrow on my phone going, hey, welcome to your Cameo. This is Ramona. But that's fine because it's so worth it. So if you want to help out, all the Cameos I get between today and tomorrow night, okay, are going to NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Okay.
Okay. So well, I will match your donation.
Whoa.
So there you
go. Well, thanks, Ronnie.
Because I wasn't even trying to put you on the spot. I didn't sign up for anything, but I will match my donation to whatever you make.
Well, thank you. I didn't sign up. Apparently, actually, Cameo reached out to a talent to ask if we wanted to do this, and I missed the email. I'm just going to do it, like, I'm just going to do the old-fashioned, like, go to their website and click it in, so...
Yeah, I'm still going to just do my Cameos like normal, but I will match whatever donation
okay,
you end
well,
up getting
Ryan.
For that. So throw all your Cameos to Ben, people. Throw them all to Ben, right. Baby.
Better brush off my Ramona impersonation, which, of course, the irony in that, right? Of course, doing Ramona impersonations to support the NAACP.
Well, hey, why not
Legal
use someone
fund?
Else's fucking ignorance for good?
I agree totally. I think that's actually almost the best kind of like, fuck you, Ramona, is to like, you know, use her to raise money for a really, really good cause.
Yeah, one thing we're rich in this country is ignorance, especially from our reality stars. So if we can turn that into something positive, let's go for it.
And I was thinking about that because this weekend, obviously, the big scandal with Stassi and Kristen resurfaced on social media. And I was thinking about like our relationship with reality TV and Bravo stars in terms of like, or Bravo in terms of us as viewers. And, you know, it's funny. And I don't know if this is like specific to us as gay men or if I speak for the audience, but I find that when I watch these shows, there's always some like, there are always these evil garbage people on it who, when the show begins, I hate them. But for some reason, I wind up being like, I hate them, but I love watching them. It's like pretty much like all of Real Housewives of New York, right? Or Vanderpump Rules. And I'm always like, I hate them, but I love them on my TV. For some reason, I love watching these awful people. We make fun of them. We have so much fun doing that. But then what happens is invariably, these people that I will go on diatribes for being like, why they are so valuable for our viewing experiences, they do something garbage outside of the reality TV show. And then all of a sudden you're in this lurch of like, oh, wait a second. Like this person that I've like loved watching on my TV has now done something terrible. What does that say about me? How does this affect my relationship towards them on TV? How do I view this person? You know, like Ramona saying all lives matter on her IG to me is like, how do I reconcile that with the fact that I love Ramona on Real Housewives of New York? And it's like, it's a really, it's a deep philosophical quandary, you know?
Yeah, I think the thing that's always helped me is just coming from an even playing field of everyone is trash until proven otherwise. You know, thankfully, people like Ramona have never really proven otherwise.
That's true.
They've maybe been more fun at some times than other, but she's trash. Like, she's complete trash, and I have no problem calling that out. We talked about the faith stuff when it was happening, like when it came out a couple of years ago on this show. But reading it all again now, you know, it really does put everything in a different light. And for those of you who don't know, Faith went on a podcast and gave an interview about what it was like being the only black cast member on Vanderpump Rules. And she brought up when Stassi went on Bitch Bible, and I think I'm getting this all right. It's a long timeline of stuff.
More or less.
But Stassi went on there and was basically going on. They all hated Faith because she slept with Jax in that season. It all came out on camera, and it became this huge thing. And all the girls, of course, because it's Vanderpump Rules, let's stand behind fucking Jax. They all went against Faith, and Kristen was like, "Oh, I saw something. I saw her in the news." Oh. And pulled up a story of a black woman who was like sleeping with rich guys and stealing stuff from them. And she was being chased by the police. And so they were calling the police saying, "This is Faith. It looks just like Faith." And then you see the pictures. It looks nothing like Faith. "Oh, but she's wearing Logan's jacket," who, of course, that little trash ball Logan pops up in every.
Yes. And they're like, not even the same jacket. And
close. Like, not even like, come on.
It's so funny. I actually like this scandal. I like have vague memories of it. I remember they all were saying that Faith was actually like a con artist. But I don't really remember the details of it. And I'm not saying like not being like denying. I really don't remember very much. So reading the articles in Vulture and in People about it and seeing it and basically what the takeaway of it is, the reason why people are so mad is because like Kristen, they called like the military police. They called I think Kristen was at a club and saw Faith there and called the police over this like jacket issue. And I'm like, okay, first of all, we don't need your vigilante justice right now. Like even if Faith were, even if she were like being shady and stealing shit, like you girls are not like relax, Nancy Drews. I mean, you are not the ones to have to like handle this. Okay, like. Like, so there's
that. I mean, they were calling her. Lala was supposedly leaving stuff around the house to see if Faith would steal it. And then Brittany supposedly called her nappy headed. And then they kept calling the cops.
Did she
and
really?
Then, yes. And then Jax was saying that she stole his car. Like, his car was stolen from a party and they were blaming Faith. Like, it was really.
Jax probably is blaming the loss of his social media hockey job on Faith at this point. I mean, let's be honest. Jax also, by the way, posted something on his story last week that was like, "Oh, so I guess all those masks that wouldn't work in restaurants suddenly work at protests." Like, fuck you, Jax. Like, simmer down, okay? We don't need to hear your voice on this situation right now.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But here's the thing though. I will say though, I think when it happened, one thing that I did not appreciate that I do appreciate now is really how dangerous it was for Faith, for Stassi and Kristen to be calling the cops on her. I don't think, I mean, we're in a constant state of like really as like two like white guys, or actually I don't know, Ronnie, really, if you identify as a white guy or not, because you are half Lebanese, but like as
I have the same privilege as a white guy, so yes, I do.
Yeah, but you know, like we are, I like to think that I'm like very, you know, like on top of shit, I'm quote unquote woke, you know, and you know, I'm like trying as much as possible to push back on my implicit bias and, you know, trying to be as progressive as possible on these things. But there will always be blind spots, always working to get them to eradicate them, but there's always going to be there. And one of my blind spots was really not taking into consideration how scary and dangerous that could really be, or not how it really could be, how it is for these girls to be calling the cops on Faith. It is. I mean, that's one thing that we've really learned, and thank God we're learning that. Thank God.
Yeah. Well, calling the cops and going on big podcasts, accusing her of all this stuff. It's just, it's so bad. So fucking gross. So Stassi has been losing all these protesters. I mean, all these protests. She's losing protesters.
Her movement's really stalling.
All those pro Stassi protesters. The Barnes and Noble at the Grove is really suffering, guys. She's losing a lot of sponsors and all this stuff, and finally came out with an apology today, you know, because the shit has really hit the fan with all of that. And Kristen came out with an apology, too.
Which I like to read with her, like, putting her shoulder forward. Like, seriously? Yeah. Seriously, I've learned?
Yeah, just knocking her head with her shoulder every other word, as in real life. But the whole thing is really fucking disgusting. And, you know, seeing it come back and feeling even more anger now, you know, in light of everything is pretty bad. So that's
it is fucking disgusting. I am glad that they apologize. I think it's a good first step. They still have to do more work. I think actually what would be great would be if, I don't know. I think it would be great. Maybe it's not great. I don't know. But I think that like Stassi should have Faith on her show and they should just like talk it all out. Like I think that, and Stassi could like maybe learn a thing or two. I think that would be really good. Faith said that Stassi still hasn't apologized to her. So there's that as well.
Yeah. Kristen and Stassi still haven't apologized to Faith in real life.
Or maybe, how about this? Hire more black people at Sir. I don't know. How about we have some more diversity on Vanderpump Rules finally? Where's Lisa Vanderpump's accountability in all this? There are a lot of people online saying that if George Floyd had been a dog, Lisa Vanderpump would have been out on the streets. I mean, it's a cynical thing to say, but it's like, let's also roast Lisa Vanderpump a little bit. Like, why don't we hear from her a little bit more?
Yeah, and if you would like to hear me yell at Lisa Vanderpump, just listen to last week's Vanderpump Rules recap.
Yeah, and we're really looking forward to yelling at the cast again this week on that recap. And the last thing at least that I think I'm going to say about this at the moment is, you know, I think another reason why when all that stuff happened, it's interesting how these things happen. Like when all that stuff with Faith came out and it was like, oh, well, we hear that she's stealing shit or whatever. I believed it. And the reason why, and this is fucked up, is because I've always told the story about how there was one time Lala was hanging out at the pool at my building and she was there and she was talking about Faith and she was talking about like she was talking with her friends and she's saying like, well, she's a little crack. And she goes, let the peasants be pleasure. Because I just block Faith. Yeah. Yeah. Let the peasants be peasants. Let the peasants be peasants. She kept on saying that. And I was like, damn, Faith. And oddly enough, I heard Lala say that. And then a few months later, all this stuff came out about Faith and it was almost like, it like for some reason I was like, because Lala was saying that all makes sense. And like it somehow like I had a false sense of verification and I just like believed it. And I was just like, why would I believe it? There's no reason for me to believe it just because I heard Lala, you know, being crabby at the pool. It's a real reminder that like sometimes we just can't take things on surface value. Like we can't just, you know, believe everything we hear. We have to question things. That some people's voices do really get lost, especially when they're given one scene at the beginning of the season and are never seen from again on Bravo.
Yes. And that's not, you know, that's not the first time. It's like, where's Billy Lee? You know, it's like she's the character you just never heard from again. You know, it seems like every time they do try to branch out, they're just like, nope. You know, the minority questioned the girls and so they're out, you know, every single time. And it's sad. And that show needs to get itself fixed. That show's got a lot of fucking work to do. That's for sure.
And that makes me really mad if it's true what Brittany said that she said, because that's like full on overtly racist. You know, you could at least chalk the other stuff up to like, well, there's like it's problematic. But at least the silver lining is maybe it came from a place of ignorance. I don't know. But like if Brittany said that, that's like there's no other way around that. That's just like full on bad.
That's just all full on bad. I mean, fuck all those guys. So let's see how much work is actually done between now and the next season, you know?
Yeah. I agree. Well, that felt good to get off the chest. God. Well, also, so we have some other scheduling things to discuss. So today we're talking about Top Chef, believe it or not. But so Beverly Hills is not new this week. We've heard rumors from Old Queen at the Bar that might have like a little bit of a hiatus. I think all these Bravo shows are still catching up from, you know, all their editors being in quarantine, et cetera, et cetera. So since Beverly Hills isn't on this week, we were originally going to do Married to Medicine LA, but that also wasn't new this week. So we're going to do Selling Sunset season 2, episode 1 on Thursday.
Look, we had a come to Jesus. First of all, we are going to be covering Married to Medicine LA. So that will be starting the next week when the new episode. We both spent all weekend getting caught up and all that. So we will be covering that. And we're branching out. You know, we're going to start doing other shows on other networks because talking about these shows every day and kind of confronting the...
There's a whole world of garbage people.
There's a whole world of garbage. Yeah. And there's a whole lot that it's like, what kind of stand, you know, like we're branching out. So we're going to start with the Netflix show Selling Sunset. We did it a little in bonus episodes. If you guys want to hear our take on the first season, and we just figured, fuck it. Let's put a non-Bravo show on our lineup in this next season. So we're going to try that. So join us for that this week.
So yeah. And so basically, yeah, going forward, we'll be doing the two new shows we're adding, Selling Sunset and Married to Medicine, Los Angeles. And obviously when Beverly Hills comes back, Beverly Hills will be back, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I mean, just subscribe. Whatever just shows up in your inbox, it'll be there. You'll know what we're covering because it'll just arrive on your podcast app.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into Top Chef. Oh, actually, we didn't do our business shout-outs.
Yes. So we're doing, we've been doing small business shout outs for the coronavirus. We're not doing it for coronavirus. We're doing it because of coronavirus. But we also decided to, because we're trying to also amplify Black voices and like raise up, you know, Black voices and Black entrepreneurs, et cetera, as best we can. We are also focusing on Black businesses. So Ronnie, give us a Black business first.
Yes. Okay, let's start with Avala Beauty. It's spelled A-V-A-L-A-H, Avala Beauty. You can find them on Instagram. It's all natural skin, hair, and beard care company. Luxurious scents and products for men and women. You can also find them at avala.com. Really gorgeous Instagram. Go check out their stuff.
Fabulous. Aubrey says, I want to give a shout out to a local Kansas City Black-owned, queer-friendly barbecue restaurant. They're pretty much as small of a business as you can get, and you may have seen the lovable Jones sisters featured on Queer Eye. They have an online store. It is Jones Barbecue KC, Jones, J-O-N-E-S, B-B-Q, KC. It's important to know it's J-O-N-E-S because, as we saw on Vanderpump Rules, there could be a big... big mess up if you say Jones, J-O-A-N, versus J-O-N-E-S. So Jones Barbecue, KC.com. You can purchase barbecue sauces and t-shirts. And if you're local to Kansas City, they have contactless barbecue vending machine. Barbecue vending machine. And that's amazing. So go check out Jones Barbecue, Kansas City.
And now, just a little note. We spent October and November in Italy, and it was amazing. So many fathers, proud of their sons, so many sons not entering careers in mixology. So that was great. And obviously our hearts go out to the devastation, and we love you, Italy. This is Chef Tom. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks very much. That was great. Shout out to Italy. All right. So, you're top chef for the finals in Italy. And I'm sad to say, and this timing could not have been worse considering it's our first Italy episode. No More Lasagna Forever magazine at the top of the show. It's like my favorite magazine cover of all time.
I know. It's like Lady Lasagna Gaga has been replaced by a hamburger. Lady Gaga's trajectory is really going downwards on the Food and Wine cover. I mean, we go from Lady Gaga to lasagna to a hamburger. What's next, a Ritz cracker? I mean, Jesus Christ. How basic are we going to take Lady Gaga?
It's so rude. So 5:45 a.m. in Los Angeles. The chefs are waking up. Because they're going to Italy, and Gregory tells us he really needs to dig deeper in Italy because, you know, he kind of didn't do so on the last challenge because he left his prosciutto off.
I'm scrolling through my notes. I don't know why. I'm like, what am I talking about?
well, yes.
Yeah, Gregory's having trouble because he's got to dig deeper. I've just got to dig deeper for this. And also he threw out his back, so he's in a lot of pain.
Which sucks. That sucks. I don't know how you could compete in a show like this in massive back pain. And then on top of that, go on a, 13-hour flight. So I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, and also they're like, and carry everything. Carry everything up a giant cobblestone hill in Italy. Have fun with that person with a bad back.
Our first challenge where you have to carry something and you have a bad back. So Stephanie is surprisingly less than normal. She's more of a... I was trying to make it sound like uplifting, but it just sounded like a little breeze.
Yeah, she's like a chick flick. You know, like the part of the chick flick where they're like not depressed anymore and they finally found their voice and they're like, I'm a girl! It's like that, except it's like, I'm a girl. You know, it's kind of medium. Yeah. It's not really at the forte yet, but it's getting there.
Yeah, she's like, there are some times I've done so badly, I think I don't belong here. But I've made it so far, I might even be a threat right now. I was like, she's going home.
So they go to flagship first check-in at the Admiral's Club. And one of our listeners told us that this is all fake and they have like a fake Admiral's Club that I guess they shoot commercials in. Or no, not the Admiral's Club, but the actual
fake
flight.
Plane.
It was a fake plane. Yes, yes.
They got onto a... Yeah, I love our listeners. They're like... they will. It's like the most inconsequential detail and yet like filled me with such joy to be like, aha! That's fake.
Yes,
the plane
this is
that they
the,
got in.
This is the Nancy Drewing I like. This is the kind of Nancy Drewing we need on this show.
Against corporations who are trying to like fool us. Because I mean, the other thing, we knew it was fake because there's not a single time on at LAX where you climb onto an airplane from like the little like a ramp, like a, not from a jetway, from like a staircase, and that's what they did.
Yeah, but they really made me believe it. I think the chefs did a really good job acting. Melissa's like, I'm going to read this menu from top to bottom, the back of it, and the front of it again, because this is a real plane.
Let's not overlook Kevin. Kevin, who was born into airplane royalty, apparently, who, when they're at the flagship lounge, he's like, what if there's a mix-up and Tom and Pam and Gail are supposed to be here, but they're in flying jet malarkey instead? I'm like, sir, you deserve to go back down to the first floor of LAX and sit with the common people for that joke.
I loved his air malarkey dig. I thought it was so funny. I was like, you go, Kevin. Then I thought, who am I? Who am I becoming right now?
I'm like, go downstairs and enjoy like a deeply like unsatisfying coffee from the fake coffee shop because they don't want Starbucks in there for some reason. Enjoy that, Terminal 4.
Yeah, and they're like, enjoy the menu. The menu was created in partnership with James Beard. I'm like, wow, only 19,000 chefs this year to compete with.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for promoting that. We're so excited that none of us will probably ever be able to eat from that menu on your airplane. We'll be enjoying your James Beard menu while we eat your dry ass pretzels, American Airlines. Not saying that Ryan and I know from experience, but we've flown American quite a bit over the past year.
Yeah, there is no James Bearding on that, I'll tell you that. Let me tell you what I got as my fancy
James
dish.
Mustache.
I got some goddamn cracker tray that you open up, and then when you're a big person, there's like too many pockets full of all this crap. It's like three raisins in one pocket, and then five cheeses in another pocket, and some nuts in another pocket. And I open them, and then I like gasped because there were so many pockets, and then my stomach knocked it off all onto the ground. Do you remember that? I was so upset.
Those boxes are evil. Here's the other thing is whenever you get like a sandwich on these airlines, because I invariably do, because I become like a monster on an airplane. I get so hungry. So I always get the sandwich, and then so it comes. And it's always like a cardboard bottom and a plastic top. So you try to open up the top, so you have to, but it's like there's like stickers that they keep it latched. You like undo one sticker. It's like, okay, great. And then like now the plastic is opened up. It's like a clamshell. And now now it's still stuck to the other side with the other sticker. But for some reason, that back sticker is always harder. So you're like yanking at it. So invariably, something goes flying off the plate a little bit. And then once you do get it off, you're like, okay, I got this plate off. So you put the plate under the cardboards to nest it to create space because you have like all of 0.3 millimeters to negotiate around this because it takes up the entire tray, you know, but the stickers are still sticking out. So for the entire meal, every time you're like eating, those stickers are catching onto everything and moving plastic and things are falling off the sides. It's like a nightmare.
Yeah, fuck those stickers.
Fuck those stickers. So
Shit, Admiral's Club. So they're about to get on, and Kevin's like, well, I can tell you a lot about planes. For example, if you hit the middle button, that's the chillaxin button. It's like, oh, God. He probably learned that as a kid. Someone was probably like, hey, are you the pilot's son? Oh, wow. Well, let me tell you, young man, if you hit that middle button, that's the chillaxin button. Is that what the kids are saying?
I want my orange juice and I want it now.
That's him on as a child in first class.
I want the magazine from Southwest Airlines. You figure out how to get it. Figure it out.
So then so they're on this plane, this fake plane, sitting there pretending like they're flying. And Kevin's talking about how he's been sick over the past few years and that this is really important. And like he says something like, it is my responsibility to be the next Chop Chef. I'm like, it's not your responsibility, okay? It's our annoyance, if anything.
Yeah. So they get to the airport, and Voltaggio just rolls by on his suitcase. He's, like, sitting on his suitcase. It comes over the loudspeaker.
The winner of the suitcase race is the other Voltaggio brother.
Damn it, he beat me again. He's not even here.
So they drive to Tuscany, they go into their hotel and everything, and they check in, and it's beautiful. It's I like love that gorgeous.
They come all the way to Italy, and we're seeing the beautiful shots of Italy. I mean, that place is just a stunner, right? So we see all these beautiful shots, and they're like, well, thank God we're staying at the Renaissance Hilton, you know, Motel 6 in Italia. It's like, come on, you couldn't find one local place to stay at.
Seriously. And is that Joe Giudice hanging out in one of their rooms? God, he really does not want to go back to his house.
They're like, who's that man with his balls hanging out the front of his pants? I was like, so what? Who cares, huh?
Did anyone notice that the bellhop was doing karate kicks? Oh, yeah, it's Joe Giudice.
So they get a card for the challenge, and it's like, hello, chefs. You've had a long day. Kevin, get prepared to form more things into balls in Italy.
Hello, chef. I want to congratulate the second place winner of the first ever airport luggage race, Brian Voltaggio. Also, our hotel's better. Bye.
No kidding. They're staying at the real hotel.
Yeah.
So it's the morning and Greg wakes up and he's feeling like shit, you know. And then so Voltaggio and Kevin are talking in the apartment. And Voltaggio is like, well, it's my third time making it to the finals. I've cooked more challenges out of everyone here. And when you put that much effort into something with no return, it's frustrating. But I'm going to win.
His sister's like, I know, it's like watching croissant fish make their annual migration. It is a lot of effort. That's not a thing.
And I don't hate Voltaggio. I mean, obviously he's really talented. He seems like a very nice person. I do not want him to win at all. Melissa for the win, people.
Yeah, I actually really like Brian Voltaggio. I've always been a fan. He is so talented. But you're right, like I just want to lift Melissa up on a pedestal and say, here we are, America, future of food.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Higher than high-res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches,
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors,
Nancy, Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Oops, she did it again, it's Brittany Montano.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
So Padma's like, hello, chefs. They meet in like a little town square.
Buongiorno, chefs.
She's really good, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm one of those people who speaks five words of Spanish, but I can do it with the accent. So I sound like I'm fluent. But then people think I'm fluent, so they start talking really fast to me, and I have no idea what they're saying. And then they just think I'm an asshole because I just sit there and nod at them. So I don't know if that's the kind of Italian Padma knows, but she sounds like I'm buying it.
Yeah, she like she is very, I mean, Padma's like a lady of the world, and even if she's not, she at least wants us to believe that, so she's gonna sell it as best as she can. So yeah, she's like, buongiorno chefs, that means hello in Italy, which I can, and I can speak Italian because I'm Padma. Anyway, welcome to Italy, or as we say in Italy. Anyway, please meet Michelin star chef Filippo Separito. Does anyone here speak Italian also? Anyone at all? No one? Stephanie, do you? Oh, that's right. You haven't even been here before. That's right.
Actually, his last name, Saporito, literally means flavorful chef. So it means chef tasty. That's his name. My name is, I'll be the judge of that.
You should have seen Gail's poor face when she heard that we'd be hanging out with Chef Tasty. We had to practically strap her down onto a big wheel of Parmesan to get her to relax for a second.
Gail tried to get competitive with me and remind me that she's married to the Burger King, but I wasn't having it.
I had to remind Gail that just because she's ordered something from the Olive Garden does not mean that she's fluent in Italian, like me.
So Voltage is like, well, I took Russian in high school. That's not going to do a lot for me here. Who takes Russian in high school?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Was this like 1962? Was he like training to someday be a spy in the Cold War?
No kidding. You might not want to put that on blast, dude.
Yeah, Michael's like, well, I actually took Russian too, and I have actually been able to use it many, many times. So I guess it can work for some people.
Yeah, you just hear Putin off screen like, is the chicken pot pie ready? And he's like, yep, learn Russian. Bring it right to you, sir.
He trained Kiko on Below Deck Mediterranean. So he's, and now, who's ready for happy hour? Italians have their own version of happy hour. It's called aperitivo. Please welcome my dear friend, Sophia Loren.
And the chef is like, it is very important to eat them, but simply, the other hand, I need to drink some beer. And she's like, ha ha, Chef Tasty. For your first quickfire challenge here in Italy, you'll make an aperitivo of your own that will pair perfectly with a peroni. Not a pepperoni, that's Gail's nickname. Just a peroni, the beer.
Each station is set with ingredients from a different region, and unfortunately, you won't know what those ingredients are because apparently none of you speak Italian.
You'll be feeding 30 thirsty locals, and to make it more delicious, the winner will win 10,000 socks. Italian socks. We're really going broke this season. We've given you enough already.
Each station is set with ingredients from a different region, and these are the regions. And then Padma says them so slowly. She goes, the Northwest, the Northeast, Central Italy, Southern Italy, and the islands. I'm like,
are you being paid by the minute or what, dude?
I know. I'm like, are you? Bravo really is trying to, wow, fill out their schedule, huh?
So Melissa's like, yeah, this is insane. But you know what? We're fighting for 10K and I can treat myself to a Roman holiday complete with a little scooter, that cute girl on the back of a bike.
Like, yeah. I love her. I love her fantasy life. I love everything about her. And Kevin's like, 30 portions for a quick fire. I mean, what's the Italian word for crazy? Is it chillax? Is that the word? Wow. Because I always feel like it's kind of chillax to lie in that, press that middle button on the plane. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think it's somewhere around loco.
You all embarrass me. I'm going home.
So Gregory gets the islands and starts working on a seafood broth, which immediately I was like, I don't know if you should be serving a soupy thing when the guy just said, little sandwich, thing to hold in my hand with a beer.
Yeah, two fingers and a beer, right? So Melissa has Central Italy, and so she's going to make some mussels and then pickle them.
Yeah, and then Stephanie has Northwestern Italy, and she's like, well, I know that people everywhere love fried and they love cheesy, so venison, tuna, gorgonzola, hazelnut flour. I'm going to make sandwiches. I was like, oh, gorgonzola and tuna. Someone please just show me the end so I can see how this works. Because I'm disturbed.
Kevin, now like he just annoys me on so many levels. He's like, I'm going to make a polenta with radicchio and prosciutto. I actually traveled to this region in culinary school. I'm like, well, congratulations. Okay. You went to Italy.
Yeah. Congratulations on your plane privilege, you dick.
Like, well, I went there. I'm like, yeah, because it was free. Okay.
It's like me. Like, I got to bowl every day when I was a kid. Like, we know, idiot.
Well, and I make polenta at home all the time. Acqua dolce, baby.
I got to have a lolly in every state in the Americas.
Do you know how many managers I got fired at restaurants in Italy when I was with my grandpapa? Lots. That's how many.
I have my own gondola in Venice. How about that?
Yeah. So then, let's see. Greg has to change over to cuttlefish instead because he got some sandy clams. Yeah. And Voltaggio's like, oh, my inspiration is the ingredients I was left. Oh, no.
So Brian Voltaggio wants to make lamb scallopinis, but that's not going to work. And then he wants to do a thing where he breads them, and that's not going to work. So now he's just going to go for a tartare. He's like, whatever, I'm just not going to cook anything. I'm just going to chop shit up.
Yeah. So let's see. Time's up, utensils.
Hands down, utensils down, stupid.
So Padme comes in, and they start with Gregory, and he introduces his cuttlefish and saffron. And Voltaggio has a lamb tartare with salad. And Kevin has his creamy polenta with prosciutto. And Melissa has peroni steamed mussels that have been pickled, as we said. And then Stephanie's venison gorgonzola carozza.
So now the judges are all eating, or it's Padma and Filippo. And Filippo is like, he really likes Melissa's. He's like, it opens your heart and opens your stomach. Am I right? Oh, my God. Don't tell that to Gail. That's going to be the new mantra of her life. Am I right, everyone? Am I right? You guys haven't met her yet. You'll see.
Yes.
You'll see.
So it was heartwarming and like a C-section. Sounds great. Thanks for the critique. So Stephanie got gorgonzola venison. He's like, oh, I love the fry. I love the crunch. It's a good idea, but she's like, didn't execute it well, right? He's like, great.
You should see her make Indian food. Terrible. Yes, I did say that loudly so you could hear it, Stephanie. Terrible.
So you're basically calling this white girl non? Got it.
Please tell me this isn't your version of a samosa, Stephanie.
So then Greg is next, and the chef loves his chickpea. He's like, everywhere they serve a chickpea here. Everywhere you go, it's a chickpea.
Everywhere you go, everywhere you go. It's a chickpea. It's a big chickpea. Sorry, big sitcom in Italy. Full chickpea.
Ooh, Greg's like, that feels great. I had a back spasm. Ouch.
Yeah. He's like, I am in incredible pain, yet somehow I'm still smiling. I don't know how this is even possible.
Yeah. So then they try Kevin's agrodolce, and the chef loves it.
And then the lamb tartare from Voltaggio. He's like, too much of spices.
Yeah. So there are all these people, by the way, that are there. There's like 30 people. And, you know, because they're cooking for like the little town or something. And so Padma like stands up in front of all the people. And she goes, thank you all very much. Goodbye. We have to talk to our chefs. She just dismisses them all.
Leave now, poor people. Go to whatever holes in the ground you came out of.
Goodbye. Yeah, I would love to see Padma like host The Weakest Link. Like, reboot it with Padma. You're the weakest gal. Goodbye.
So, would you like to phone a lamb chop to help you out with this?
Is that your final gal?
So she's like, there were a couple that missed the mark. Brian, there was a lot of garlic. And then the chef's like, yes, you know, it needs to speak up with the friend. Garlic in the mouth is not a good idea. I have to speak up with a friend. And he's like,
oh, yeah. you're right. Oh, you're. He's like, Donka.
Stephanie, you made shit once again.
And now for some good news. Gail, Mr. Plain.
So the people on top are Melissa and Kevin, and the winner is Kevin. So he says that his he's like, well, I think my total win is $30,000 so far. I mean, who's counting, am I right? I would normally say that could buy me a lot of plane trips, but I think, as we all know, I fly for free.
So then we see a figure like creeping out of the shadows in a weird hat. It's like dun 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 dun, but it's just Tom in a hat. It's Tom in a Kyle Richards hat.
Yeah, it's like Tom. It's like Carmen Clickiego or something like that. He's been on the run for robbing several banks in Liguria, and now here he is. So he's like, so chefs, how was your first day cooking here? Who completely messed up? All of them, Tom.
Me.
So she's like, well, it's time to dig deep, chefs. For your next elimination challenge, you're going hunting for white truffles.
All we want for you is to make any dish and that uses white truffles, or as we call it, little gals. All right. Tomorrow night, you'll be cooking at Limbuto, which is Italian for Limbuto. And we'll be including the Michelin-starred chef at Limbuto, Christian Tomei. So I guess I'll see you all at Limbuto, which is also known as Limbuto. How many times can I say Limbuto? I don't know. I can't stop saying it. Someone stop me. Limbuto. Limbuto. Limbuto.
Ali Wong. Oh, there. All better. The Limbuto hiccups have cleared. <It's>
like... well, as I was saying to my good friend, Lena Limbuto. Oh, God, someone help me.
So they go hunting and meet these two hunter guys, truffle hunter guys, and two cute little dogs.
Yeah. It actually looked super fun. I was, like, very fascinated by this. I kind of wanted to watch a whole hour of truffle hunting.
You did? I was like, gross, it's outside.
So then after they find like $3,000 worth of truffles, so they go now to the supermarket, and when they like walk in, there's like one of those there's like a gate thing, you know, so you don't steal the carts. And Brian Voltaggio is like, hey, look, it's a starting gate.
Voltaggio has a joke at the entrance of every store scene. Have you noticed? He's like the Whole Foods opener comic.
Oh my god, I'd love to see him go to Stu Leonard's. That would be amazing.
So Voltaggio's like, oh, carrots are karote, right? Look, karotes.
Language, am I right?
So Greg's like, well, I've worked with black truffles more than white, but I read about wild boar and cocoa stew, and I just want to hug this truffle. I love you, truffle. Thank you for everything you've given us.
Yeah. And Melissa, she wants to bridge Asian and Italian food. So, but she wants to do like a whole a congee thing, but she can't find peeled garlic or chicken stock. Which I'm actually surprised that there was no. I think that was lost in translation. I think chicken stock is a pretty universal thing, unless I'm just being like American centric right now. But like, I was surprised that she couldn't find it at the store.
Yeah, you're like, you have peanut M&M's, sir. Do you? God damn it. So then Stephanie's like, well, I want to make some sort of truffle egg drop soup thing. And I was like, no! I screamed at my TV, what are you doing? This is the finals.
Yeah, that seemed... I feel like anytime Stephanie sort of tries to do so, like... like food culture that's not her own, it's like I'm just like scarred from when she made Indian food still, basically.
Yeah. And so Greg is still in pain, but he's pushing through. And then we go over to Stephanie. Now they're back at home. I wrote Volt Birches. What does that mean? What is Voltaggio? Oh, he's brushing his teeth. Like, oh. This fucking show. Like, I needed to write that down. Voltaggio's brushing his teeth.
Just like toothpaste all over the mirror. Little speckles. So, yeah, Stephanie calls. She calls home to her husband because it's their first wedding anniversary. So I was like, okay, her sudden burst of confidence at the top of the episode combined with her calling home. She is 100% going home. Like, all the signs were there for me.
Yeah, but now they're trolling us on this show.
I know.
Like they know how to trick us. So yeah. She's like, well, I love to make pot. I changed everything. I was having nightmares about my dish. You know, egg drop soup. Don't know why that really didn't click. But I love to make pasta, and I'm in Italy. And, you know, it's a huge risk, but it's one I'm willing to take. And I was like, she's screwed. Bye.
Yeah. I was like, this is all awful. Yeah. So now they're all cooking, and Melissa's working on her Italian-style congee, and Brian is working on a veal shank with chestnuts, and he just wants to make something simple so the truffles really shine, etc.
Yeah, and then let's see.
And then Kevin. Kevin is working on, I'm going to work on a fondue, just, you know, something that really helps me chillax. I know, it's crazy, right? Get it? It's a joke. They mean the same thing. Anyway, I just want to prove that truffles don't have to be just served over a noodle. I'm like, you know that truffles have been around as part of cuisine for like, you know, like hundreds of years. You're not going to be the one that suddenly changes popular notions about truffles on Top Chef. Okay.
Another fucking meatball from this guy. How has nobody called him out? Been like, I know. Another ball, you loser. But here he is. He's like, well, I'm going to put truffle in everything. Some of them are going to go in the braised onions, and some are going to go in the sausage, and some I'm going to shave over the top, and some are going to go in the cold, and some are going to go in the meatballs, and some are going to go, I'm just going to put some on my head just for fun. I'm going to come in and say, chillax button, I got truffle on my head.
I'm going to just give a sedum business class to this truffle right here, just because I can, because grandpa.
Thank granddaddy, truffle. Thank granddaddy.
So Kevin has a minor setback because he didn't realize that he was getting a blend of three meats, pork, wild boar, and veal. He thought he was getting, I think, all veal. So he's like, you know what? I'm just going to blend all three together, and hopefully it'll make a phenomenal polpettone. I'm like, okay, what? I don't know. There's literally nothing wrong with what he said, but I was just like, shut the fuck up.
He just has that way about him. So then Stephanie is using the pasta machine, and she's making a brown butter squash mezzaluna. And she's like, I mean, look, it's at first I was thinking it was going to be hard, but then I remembered, like, I'm probably the coolest one here. Just kidding. That's Voltaggio.
Just kidding. And in case you guys thought I was getting too big for my britches, let me just remind you.
So let's see. Greg is making wild boar with cocoa and truffle polenta. He's putting the truffles in the polenta, and he's like, I stumbled, I really need to do well. Does anybody want a hug? Just because I feel like it.
Yeah. And Stephanie makes like something with radicchio, and the radicchio is like way too bitter, which I mean, radicchio is already like super bitter, so I don't know why she'd be surprised by this. But it's really bitter, and she's trying to work with it, and she can't, but she feels obligated to keep working with it. And it's like, what is the mindset behind that? Of, okay, I'm making something really bitter and acrid that tastes like shit. I'm going to put it on the plate.
I think it's because she had already put it on the menu, so it was going to say radicchio on the menu, and then she would have to be like, but, you know, the radicchio didn't work. And then Padma would be like, well, this might have been better with radicchio, Stephanie.
I'll tell you what's ridiculous. Ridiculo, or lack thereof. Am I right, Ali Wong? Oh, wait, she's not here. She's just a friend.
So she thinks it's too bitter, so she adds some honey to it. And then we see the setup for dinner. And poor Greg. It's like every time they cut to Greg, he's like, my back is killing me. I might never walk again. They're like, okay, carry 97 pounds of things up the cobblestones.
Jeez. Great. So for the first time this season, since your back is hurting, why don't you carry all your equipment across a long walk on cobblestones uphill? Here you go. Have fun.
Yeah, and Kevin just passes him like, I'm not stressed out at all. I tasted the meatball and it is delicious.
It's the country captain of meatballs.
Grandma designed this meatball.
Yeah. So Padma goes up to Kevin because I think they have stations, right? They all have stations, right?
Yeah, they
so
all Padma's have stations.
Like, hi, Kevin. Let me introduce you to Cristiano Tomei. No relation to Marissa, which is too bad because she's a very dear friend.
And he tells them the difference between black and white truffles. Black truffles are the truffles that are good for cooking, and they're like potato-like mushrooms. And then white truffles are good for just shaving on top of stuff. And I was like, oh, you might have given them that speech a little while ago because
oh, I think someone needs to press the chillax button on the each spay, am I right?
And then Melissa's laughing at Voltaggio's terrible Italian. He's like, oh, how do you say potato? Oh, patata. Damn you for pointing out that laugh to me. That's all I hear now.
Well, that's all he does. That's why. It's not like a weird thing that you just now can't not hear. It's like, it's aggressive. They edit, I mean, they edit it in there excessively on purpose. But you say potato, I say patata. Apparently not, actually. So Kevin's like, well, what we have here is a polpette with chestnut honey and roasted onion, pecorino, white truffles, and just some leftover airplane pretzels that I have an unlimited supply of because of Granddaddy.
Gail's like, why did you choose to fry the meatball? I am dressed like a motorcycle lady, but I've got a motorcycle vest and a very furry undershirt on. Don't fuck with me today. Why is this fried? And he's like, well, I just didn't want it to be too saucy. Like somebody else I know whose grandpappy doesn't work for the airlines. Girl!
By the way, why would he not want the meatball to be too saucy? Isn't that like what we, don't we love that with meatballs? Like who wants an unsauced meatball?
Yeah, I think his answer should have been, because it's fucking easier and I have to cook for a ton of people. That's why.
Yeah, because frying is his favorite thing.
Yeah.
So there's like two Italian chefs. There's the Tomei guy and then there's another guy. And one of them is basically feels like the spices in the meatball competed with the truffle and it got lost. There was a lot of like poetic discussion about the truffle from the Italian dude. There was a lot of like, I love the truffle is a beautiful lady who has to be courted. You have to take her down a staircase and you have to buy the meal for her. If you don't buy the meal for her, then she says no more for you and the romance is done. I'm like, yeah. Are you saying you didn't like it?
Yeah. He's like, unfortunately, the sauce was like a little girl who would not hold her mother's hand in the mall, and now she is lost. That is it. She lost little girl. Stephanie, what'd you make? And so she introduces her squash brown butter Messaluna porcini brodo. And she's like, what is that tart flavor? Ew, jeez, God, I'm dying over here. I'm choking to death. What is
that? So much tartness. Where's Nilu? Where's Nilu? She would love this. She's a tart herself, if you know what I'm saying. That was a joke. Did you like that, Ali Wong?
It's the tongue version of trying to open your fish last week from that paper. Was it her who made the fish in the paper?
Just when I finally recovered from all the steam burns from opening up your paper fish, now I have to deal with this tart flavor.
And she tells him, yeah, you know, it's raised radicchio. And she tells us, God, this is the point as a viewer of Top Chef that we should all be screaming at our TVs. Because I made a critical flaw. I just shouldn't have put it on the dish.
Yep. You said it best. She's like, yeah, if I'd just been a big girl, I would have just not put it on there. So everyone feels like there's just too much radicchio of this bitter, or I guess tart radicchio for the chefs. So they don't like it. Although Gail is like, I mean, I actually do think the pasta was lovely, but the accompaniments were overbearing. Sort of like every pattern on every dress that you've ever owned, Gail. Am I right, everyone? Am I right?
I know, and Gail showed up not even wearing a patterned dress or shoulder pads, so Gail's just completely thrown us off. Like, I hope you feel better about yourself. I actually miss the patterns and the shoulder pad outfits, Gail. Okay, who are you even right now?
And then this shady old lady goes up to Stephanie, and she's like, no, we are so used to pasta. Let's try something else.
And Stephanie's all mortified.
Oh, God.
Hi, Gregory. What is that rich, dark thing you're spooning, and is he single?
That was a joke. Another one for Ali Wong. Anyway, did you meet my grandmother over there? I think she's busy shitting Stephanie. She's doing such a great job.
So attracted to rich things. So the wild boar with tomato prunes. Oh, yeah.
Did you,
that's his dish.
Did you see that when Gregory said, he's like, yeah, I think it's called a shingal. And Padma goes, shingale! Yes, we know you know what it is, Padma. I love when she does that.
And he's shaving a lot of the truffles on. And one of the guys is like, do you know how much it's cost?
Yeah, and he said, and Padma, she's like, here, let me translate, because I speak Italian. He said, are you sure you know how much these truffles cost? Because you seem to be going wild with your cingale. God, I love a good cingale. Has anyone else had cingale? Because I definitely have had cingale.
He's like, white truffle is like this woman who has been waiting for man while he is at war, and man does not come back from war. The truffle is unforgiving, is what I'm saying. It is unforgiving.
Truffle is like beautiful vessel out on the sea, and polenta is ocean that just flows and heaves and waves big and crushes boat. And Moby Dick comes in and eats mushroom, and no one tastes it ever again.
And they're on their way to see Melissa, but it just shows a clip of Kevin going,
oh, you know, truffles are just so delicate and floral that by the time we get them in the States, they're just crap. All right, they're crap. That's what we get. Enjoy your truffles, so, Italy.
Yeah. Yeah, by the time we get... These are so delicate, I mean, so subtle, that that's why I decided to crush them up and put them in a meatball and deep fry it. Enjoy. We call these truffles American way.
This is almost as inedible as a non-round food object. Tell you that. So,
there's a reason why a lolly is circular. Am I right? Am I right?
So, Melissa, her truffle congee has salami and fried garlic and a quail egg with white truffle butter as well. And Padma's like, but no actual truffle. And she's like, well, I didn't want to cook it. I just wanted to keep it in its raw state. So, no, then. Well, you know, I wanted you to enjoy it the way that it's... So, no, you're saying no, then? Is that right, Melissa?
Is that right? You know, it's funny because the last time I went to Limbuto with my dear friend David Chang, we both had truffle and it was cooked. So you're just saying that you did not cook the truffle. Is that right? Okay. The defense rests.
Well, I think she did a nice job. It's really smart to do a congee, and a quail egg was brilliant. Quail egg was brilliant. Huh? One thing I've never said to my son.
Yeah, who would have thought that, you know, given my son's pedigree and all the advantages he had growing up with me being a star chef, that by the age of 23, quail egg would be more brilliant than him. Who would have thought?
And Gail's like, well, that was rich, but again, I wanted more truffle. And the guest is like, if we remove the salami, she made a really intelligent dish.
And Padma just goes, exacto.
Well, I'm using all the truffles. Oh, y'all. Braised veal shank ragu with white truffle Alfredo. And also, there's a shaved truffle in the foam.
The guest judge is like, oh, the right, the classic flavors. It is like the finger of the Michelangelo, the construction, very intelligent.
Exacto.
Gail's like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's just like, I got the most pure truffle flavor from this dish.
Maybe it's because you finally swallowed that Tootsie Roll, Gail.
Gail, you do know there's a difference between truffle and the truffle shuffle, right?
let me translate for you, guest. Gail è un guber e non su la nulla del cibo. Sono la persona guista, eh? I just said Gail is a goober and knows nothing about food. Am I right, hot person?
Intendevi che fossi così salato? That means, did you mean for this to be so salty? Anyway, in summary, Tom, exacto. Marissa Tomei's father, exacto. Friend of Mr. Tomei's father, exacto. Gail, non-exacto.
Like a beautiful woman, the truffle doesn't need too much adorning it.
Which is my way of saying, did you notice how many accessories Gail is wearing?
So in the stew room, Voltasha is like, wow, that was a lot of truffles.
Stephanie's like, I just don't want it to be like the time I made Padma Indian food. It's exactly like that, Stephanie. I can hear you from inside. It's exactly. Exacto. Well,
this is the part where we're supposed to tell each other, be happy you made it to the finals. Congratulations. Anyone? Anyone?
He's saying
anyone
that because he thinks he's in the top, so he's trying to be like comforting to everyone, not realizing that he's actually going to be in the bottom.
Yeah. Well.
So they go in, and Tom's like, well, you know what? For the most part, we had good dishes, but not every dish was good with truffles. It's sort of like, you know, my son, great kid, I love him. I just don't love him being a mixologist, you know? Some things just don't work well together.
Brian and Melissa, congratulations. You're not losers.
Yeah, Brian, it felt like the perfect vehicle to coddle and nestle those truffles. Yeah, just the way Gail coddles and nestles into a Mars bar. Am I right, everyone?
Way to use potatoes just to please Gail, Voltaggio. It worked this time.
Hey, Voltaggio, I really like the dish you made. It really had the vibe of someone who really knew what they were doing, especially considering you've never won a quick fire.
Oh, such a beautiful pairing. And she's like, yeah. By the way, we're talking about potatoes, otherwise known as Gail Jerkoff Lit.
Exacto. Melissa, the congee was exciting for everybody. It was simple and let the truffle do its job. You might start a congee truffle revolution in Italy. Shut up, Gail. You don't know what you're talking about.
You had the courage to be yourself. Your plate worked beautifully.
And he's saying all this in Italian, and no one translates for him, but he kind of starts bowing at the end a lot. And so they're like, oh, thanks. Yeah. They're just kind of letting – like, Padma's like, I'm tired. All right, I'll translate. Gail en un tartufo che nessuno vorrebbe scarare. That means Gail is a truffle no one would dig up. Am I right, guest?
Oh, yes. And then he's basically like, but please, Melissa, never cook salami again. Am I right? Am I right, everyone?
Oh, I got lost in my nets because I was giggling. Stupid.
It's okay.
Keep your eyes on the road.
So the winner. So the winner is Melissa. So congratulations, Brian and Melissa. A little bit less for Brian because he didn't win. That sounds familiar. You're both moving on.
Did I sound like your mother there for a second? Okay, next up, Greg, explain yourself.
And he's like, well, I wanted to make a dish that was part of me. And Tom's like, well, you know, whenever you make those stews, they are fantastic. And it was a great stew. Just not with truffles. Not with truffles. And Gail's like, yeah, it drowned the truffles. The unctuousness to the raw truffle was lost wholly.
Yeah. And the chef is like, if you used the black truffles, it would have been perfect. But white truffles can't be cooked for any reason. White truffles and salami, do not cook them. Am I right? Exacto.
What he just said was, Gail ama le patate più de suoi figli. That means Gail loves potatoes more than her children. Am I right, chef?
Oh, wait, I think he just said something else. He just said, Gail, la polpetta originale, which means Gail, the original meatball.
Speaking of, Kevin, you went with polpette with not one meat, not two, but three. And the truffle felt overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You never even have to add to what Gail says. It's always, she's like,
the unctuousness of that raw truffle was lost.
Sort of like any semblance of fashion in your wardrobe. Me cucinare salame o ascoltare il Gael. Or, as we say in English, never cook salami or listen to Gael.
And yeah, the guest is like, it was delicious, but the spices really destroyed the effect of the truffle. And Padma
says it again. She
does she say exacto? But
she says exacto again. She goes, exacto.
So Stephanie, I wrote eyebrows face. I don't know why. Yeah. Oh, I think
she laughs because Padma laughs. She goes, Stephanie, you were very courageous to make pasta here, you idiot. How is the day for you, considering that it will probably always be terrible?
It's like, well, I think the mistake I made was that I made you a Stephanie dish and not a truffle dish. And she's like, yeah, well, the pasta was beautiful, but that radicchio paste, oh, my God, it obliterated everything. I'm choking again. I feel it. Somebody, I'm choking. I'm dying. Okay, I'm fine again. You're still terrible.
You know, it's so funny. I'm looking on this menu from American Airlines that from the James Beard Foundation. And as far as I can tell, let's see, there's a category for Italian food, Japanese food, Middle Eastern food. Huh, I don't see a category for Stephanie dishes.
So Stephanie thinks she's going to get out, right? And I think we all think Stephanie's going to get out. And she's like, Tom's like, yeah, you know, it was just too much ridicule because it's about the truffles. But, you know, the pasta was really good. And Padma's like, get out of here, losers. The rich people are going to talk now.
So in the stew room, Stephanie, she's like, I'm not, she says something about how she's not scared to just try. What is that? What does that
mean?
She said
that she is not afraid to try things, but then she gets her head in the way because she starts overthinking things and then starts feeling bad about herself. And she's like, I just can't power through it. And Gregory's like, I just don't want it to end. I've planned my finale meal. And Kevin's like, yeah, buddy.
Kevin's just running circles around the stew room with his hands out like he's an airplane. Like,
I'm on Grandpa's play car.
This is going to be really, really hard for us, chefs. I mean, it's going to be like Gail standing in front of a chocolate sundae and not genuflecting just because it's Sunday.
And the guest's like, let us start with best. The ravioli was very good. And Padma's like, yeah, I would eat Stephanie's again, with or without radicchio.
Yeah. It's like, well, you know, but the radicchio was as bad as the other two dishes. I mean, it was as bad as the career prospects for my son. Am I right, everyone? Am I right?
Yeah, but today was about the truffle, and Gregory's dish did not celebrate the truffle. It did not celebrate the truffle, Tom. We weren't here to celebrate the wild boar. We were here to celebrate the truffle.
Well, then I'll put the gift I bought you away, Gail.
Says the woman who celebrates a 50% off a dress bond sale every Tuesday.
But, you know, he did use the most amount of truffles. She's like, let's just take the truffle out for one moment, okay? Let's not celebrate the truffle like somebody else here. Truffles stand outside, okay?
Truffles, we ask you to go into the stew room while we deliberate. Thank you.
Kevin's dish was disjointed, regardless of the truffle.
And he's like, yeah, that didn't work out.
Yeah. Padma, thank you for noting that it was disjointed regardless of the truffle. I think that's probably why Gail said, let's take the truffle out of the equation for one moment. Exacto.
I do think we have our answer. Shall we bring them back in?
So they do. And Tom gives his monologue. He's like, chefs, there are clearly traditions in cooking, and we got dishes that were too much a departure from the tradition of white truffles. One dish went a little too far. Padma?
For the first time ever, the eliminated chef will have to pick up this anvil and carry it all the way downstairs to their knives. And the person going home who must lift this anvil
Miss Gregory, I'm so sorry.
Boo!
I'm so sad. Not Gregory, not our sweet Gregory.
I cannot believe they sent Gregory home. I could not believe it.
I know. I am a little surprised because it sounded like they liked his stew, but
how could you keep the guy, A, who's been kicked off before, but also made another fucking meatball? How?
Yeah, exactly. A disjointed meatball that didn't celebrate the truffle. I mean, they all didn't. Well, Gail said that none of the dishes in the bottom celebrated the truffle. And so that's the first time they've ever been in that situation where they all made the same error. But yeah, I mean, how do you, he deep fried a meatball yet again.
Yeah.
And you're going to keep him?
Yeah. Sucks.
No, I do not support it. Do not support it.
Do not support it. Love you, Gregory. Well, he's made it far, and he did a really good job. And I'm sure that he's got a pretty big fan base out there. So hopefully he'll get something. I was watching, speaking of people from Top Chef, I was just watching Carla on that Martha Stewart bake-off thing. She's a judge on that. Hoodie-hoo!
Oh, is she?
Yeah. Have you seen that Martha Stewart show? It's so
no,
funny.
No, I haven't. I heard about it.
You should watch it. It's so, well, it's just so Martha Stewart. You know, her eyes are half closed the whole time. And she's like, well, I taught that girl about curd. Apparently, she didn't listen.
Ooh, I love a curd shaming.
Yeah. There was some really good lemon curd shading.
Is it on Hulu? Where is it?
I think it is on Hulu. I think that's where I was watching it.
I'll have to check it out. And I'm like really excited for Padma's Taste the Nation. Just because it'll be more Padma. So, but I think that comes out, in about 10 days or so, Padma's Taste the Nation.
Yeah.
Probably timed to like coincide with the Top Chef finale or whatever. But,
be a Bravo show?
It's Hulu also.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cause I haven't seen anything on Bravo about it.
Yeah. But I think that maybe like, we should check it out for one of the bonuses just to see how it is and just to make fun of Padma more.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
just like the most fun thing of all time.
Yeah, for sure.
And by the way, but even though we make fun of Padma, I actually love Padma. And I think that she's actually doing like posting some really great shit on her Instagram. So as much as we make fun of her, everyone should really follow her on Instagram because she's posting some really good shit. Anyway, guys, we'll be back tomorrow with Below Deck Med. Oh, that'll be fun. And stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you later.
We love you guys.
Bye.